Hi.
How are you today?
Gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. We're living in perilous times. If you take the time to read behind the scenes, as it were, you would learn that there's lots of interesting things going on that the pastor's not going to tell you, you're not going to see in the news, and so much more. But there are things happening. There's things happening all over the world, throughout the interior of the world, and throughout the universe. Something is happening, and it is now in the arena of where you can actually find some more specific things in science and stuff that is confirming what people have been saying for many decades, that the earth is changing. Something is going on. The universe is changing. It's been detected that at the center of the Milky Way, there was some sort of shockwave that went out recently that traveled throughout the universe. Something's happening. And the things that are happening is going to happen in your lifetime, and most likely in the not too distant future. Lots of people like to try to calculate the time that Jesus is going to return. Of course, we know that when we read the Bible and we hear, we like to quote or state that we won't know the time. Well, Jesus said that we can know the season, and you can know the hour. In Revelation 3:3, it is talking about Christians not watching and seeing what's going around, seeing what's happening in front of their nose. Don't you know, people, that a good portion of Christianity is not caring what's happening? I don't know, what's the idea here? To me, it seems like it's pretty important to know what's happening to you and what's about to happen. The things that are happening, you see, Satan is a deceptor. He's a liar. You think you're going to hear the truth in the media and around you in the world? Or are you going to continue to listen to these things? Now, it's fine to listen to them, because if you understand what's happening, then you can understand when you hear things and read things and see things, the underlying direction of these events that you are happening each day. It never ceases to amaze me how pastors who, you know, to be a pastor, you got to have this kind of thing about you, you know. We like to say, it's my calling. Well, you could get more detailed about this calling type of thing, because God didn't, most, if you go to all the pastors, God didn't come out there and say, hey, Joe, I want you to be a pastor. Now go to this particular college in this particular denomination and then put your credentials out to become a pastor, and I will make the people somewhere that I want you at to vote you in. No, that's, God doesn't work like that. Now there are times that people do have very, very personal experiences from God. But as a rule, that's not how God acts. People have a desire. And we read God gives the desires of our heart. We desire to be a pastor. Then we do the things that will bring us to be a pastor. And God will open the doors. He will not necessarily just say to you, that's the door. You have to open this door, and it's not it. You have to open that door, it's not it. Not that many people actually get the direct answer and get right in someplace. They have to spend a great deal of time. Now, the problem exists here that we don't want to know what's going on, I guess. So we believe what we hear. Or we simply say, well, to do this, we need to do all these other things. Like, if you want to be a pastor of a certain denomination, you've got to obey the hierarchy of the denomination. You have to go to their college and learn the way they teach. Now, there's so many denominations that people find the way that they like, and so they pursue that area. They go to that church. They go to that college. Other people just go because it's available. A pastor is somebody that has compassion for his flock. A pastor is set to a certain locality, a group of people that he ministers to regularly. A pastor is one that's supposed to love you and nurture you and guide you and talk to you and teach you and prepare you. But this isn't what pastors are doing anymore, because now you got this, that, or the other thing. It's a competition. Who can have the best multimedia presentation if you got lots of people and plenty of money coming in, or enough money coming in? If you're a little bit lower down the chain, you're not having such a income coming in, not such a big church, you're still going to somehow try to mimic the larger churches to a degree. You have your pattern. And not necessarily any of this is wrong, because it doesn't necessarily matter. We do like entertainment and stuff like that. We do like to be made to be happy. And joy and seeing and all this thing. Nothing particularly wrong with this kind of thing. But there is a balance in ministry to the people. And if you're a pastor, you need to take into consideration this balance. You need to tell the good with the bad. You need to be truthful, and you need to know the truth. And saying you know the truth and it's Jesus Christ, that's a statement. And nobody is hearing the truth from you. Things are happening. That's going to affect every single Christian on earth, besides the rest of the population. Things are happening continually. And I've yet to hear anybody that calls themselves a pastor warning the people about what's going to immediately affect them and is affecting them. Somehow or another, they've bought into the coming New World Order and the One World Government. Because you could do your research and you could learn. It's in front of your nose. You're supposed to watch so you could see and you can know the hour. Revelation 3:3, I told you. If the thief was coming to your house and you were watching, you would know that he's coming. And you would prevent him from doing the reason that he is coming. Now, what is Satan wanting to do? He wants to take every single thing that you have. Now, what's really important? Is your car important? A lot of you are willing to give up your car for Christ. Is your house important? Some more of you will be willing to give up your house. Your possessions may be something that you may be willing to give up. Then we get a little bit, we got Job as an example of how far Satan's permission from God can go. And he can take your kids away from you. Now, how much can he steal from you? By trickery and deception. What is the significantly most important thing that exists for you? Yes, you love your children and you want them saved. But if they're taken from you, doesn't matter if they were saved or not. They're gone now. And what's left? What's left is your faith. You see, this thing about Jesus Christ is called, we love to say, a personal relationship. We can look at our mom. We can look at our siblings. We can look at our wives and husband and friend. And we're having a personal relationship with him. Hi, how are you doing? How is your day, you know? We know what a personal relationship is. And there's various kinds of stages of personal relationships. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ passes that of your best friend. Passes that of any family love. Personal relationship is what we have with Jesus Christ. Can we lose this personal relationship? Well, Jesus told us, he promised it, he said that there's an absolute. Nobody can take you away from him. And he will not forsake you. So you've got two absolutes concerning your faith that you could be relied completely on, that you can rely 100% on, and that is Jesus will never ever forsake you. And that there is nothing anywhere in all the universe that is strong enough to take you from Jesus. But up to 2/3 of Christians will turn their backs on Jesus. And this is the way that you can lose Jesus, and that is to reject him, to turn your back on him. And some people don't believe this can happen. When you look at yourself and your faith and everything, you say, this could never ever happen. Then why does Jesus talk about it so much? Why is the pages full of all of these people? Why is the parables, all the parables in the thing that the seed fell on this ground and that ground and the rocks and the all this and everything, why is all of them negative about you keeping your faith? And finally you get finally you get to a point where the seed did fall on good ground and it multiplies according to a certain percentage, as it were. So you somehow think that you're extra special? Well, why don't you multiply your extra specialness that you think that you are, why your faith is good, against the entire Christianity? And they're out there all thinking the same kind of deal as you're thinking. At least lots of Christians are. And then so why does the Bible continually, persistently saying there's going to be a need for you to stand fast, to hold fast, to persevere to the end? Why is there so much information being told to us about people that fall away? How could you fall away unless you know Christ? Why do you think that the Bible is full of these kinds of warnings? Because there's a deceptor out there. We like just to call him Satan. We like to say a demon behind every bush. You got Father Bush, Daddy Bush, and Son Bush. So maybe you're right that there is a demon behind every bush. You need to find out what's going on, because if you don't watch, then things can happen around you and overwhelm you before you can prepare for it and get ready for it and stand fast and persevere. There's some things that it's very difficult, no matter how faithful we are, and that is our touch. We can touch. See, that's real. We can touch it. We got eyes. We see. How could it not be real if we see it? We can smell. It certainly smells like this is real. Let me hear. Let me. I heard it. It's gotta be real. What do you think the deceptions are gonna be about? Philosophy? Persuasion? How do you persuade somebody that has a personal relationship that they're not having a relationship with a person that they believe they're having a relationship? Who's going to come to you to tell you that you're not having a relationship with your wife or husband? Who could do that? It is you that wake up every morning and look over there and see your spouse next to you. It is you that could go down the hallway and see your sons and daughters. It is you that go to work and have a relationship with your fellow workers. Who's going to tell you you're not having this kind of relationship? Nobody could tell you that. Nobody could persuade you of something that you're having and seeing and knowing and experiencing. But if you're tricked, if you go to this place, you know, take this little trail, hike down this trail, you see this house that's slanted a little bit, you walk in it, and you see the ball rolling uphill, and you see the water pouring up and all that, and you're seeing that, oh, there's that one person on that side of the little cement slab there, and you're on the other, and you're so much taller, and then when you pass them, all of a sudden now you're just a little old shrunk down to nothing, and then the other short person is way taller than you. I mean, and we're looking at that, and but you see, we know something. What do we know about this little type of berserk little way that they can fiddle with the, whether it's a reality kind of thing or it's just a trickery of the way that they built the cabin? I mean, you could get in different parts of areas and look, and your mind goes, but you see, we know something because we learned it. Somebody taught us. And we have confirmation of it. And we learn. We learn that they are these sort of mystery houses. And we're not maybe sure how it happens, the trickery or whatever. But whatever it is, it does trick our eyes. And our brain says, hey, this is really happening. I mean, because of what it's reporting by your eyes. But your ability to understand what is happening tells you, no, this is not happening. That person did not get shorter than you. The water is not flowing uphill. The ball is not rolling uphill. That there is an explanation for it. It's not real. And if it is sort of real, it is because of the mystery of that area, as they tell us, to keep us interested in coming back and curious. When we see something and hear something and smell something and touch something, we are convinced. We are persuaded. And when these things that come into our senses are deceptions, and nobody else is telling us anything, so we are independently viewing these things, hearing these things, and touching these things. I went up to the spaceship. I touched the metal thing. I know it's a real spaceship. The door opened. I walk in, and there's all the little green men. What are you going to do to a person that saw these things? Tell them they didn't? Well, that's what we hear all the time. All these people tell them you never saw that. It's mass hallucination and all that kind of stuff. But that convinces all these people that actually went onto the spaceship? No. It doesn't, does it? Because they touched, they saw, they were there. They were convinced. You're going to be convinced through your senses that Jesus is not the Christ that you read in the Bible. That the Bible has been either misinterpreted or is flat out wrong. And you're going to have these independent things that it feels to you that you are independently seeing the facts. But no government, no nothing is doing anything from, I mean, the government didn't make these spaceships fly around in front of your eyes that you could see them. They didn't make the whole sky open up into like a vision to you, like a monitor, a TV monitor, and events start taking place up there. And you see God there telling you things. I mean, you personally are seeing this happen. It's got to be God. It's got to be Jesus because you're seeing it. And when you're hearing it inside your head, a voice and thoughts telling you that He is Jesus, that He is God, you're there by yourself. You're hearing it. It has to be. Then your eyes are looking around the people around you. They see it too. They're hearing it. Look at how everybody's reacting to this phenomenon. There's no government involvement because you're seeing it. There's no rays pointing at you. So you're accepting this deception because you don't know that the government is indeed doing this. They do have the technology. They can use the sky as a monitor. And they can put sound into it too. They could trick you. And then it's your job to believe or not believe what you see. Christians, you believe what you see and hear, but not what you know. The information is there. We're supposed to watch what's about to happen so we can know and be prepared. If we know there's going to be false Christ, then we can look for them. And if we know that it's going to happen and our senses are going to be distorted by deception, then when the deceptions come back that talks to our senses, we can say, this is not how Jesus said it was. It cannot be Jesus. I will not accept this, what I see and hear and feel and touch. Because it is not what I know about Jesus. But far too many of you are going to look at these events and you're going to say, that man over there has to be Jesus. What else can it be? He knows it all. There, he's doing things that is beyond comprehension. He has to be Jesus. He looks like Jesus. He's making me see, hear, and feel like it's Jesus. There's something inside our bodies. It's a sense. I call it the spiritual sense. That means not only you touch, see, and hear, you could feel this thing that tells you it's God. But this is a feeling. We're a physical body. We're not a spiritual body yet. We have our spirit in here, but this is a physical body. If we're going to feel it, it's going to be through our physical. So there's a God button inside us, a sense, like sight, hearing, touch. And this will tell us it's God. It may not be God. It may be your own spirit. It may be a dragster going up with such a roaring sound, the spaceship taking off, and just the sound is so awe-inspiring, it triggers your God sense, and tears start pouring out of your eyes. It might be false gods pushing your God button to feel like God. Don't confuse feeling like God is there with God. As Christians, when we're worshiping Jesus, this is often the case. It is God. But beware, those deceptions are coming. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him. Say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. That God rose You on the third day. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. A simple prayer gets you saved. Get ready now. Read the Bible. The King James Bible. All modern translations are by Westcott and Hart. Get ready now. See you next week.